Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Now at McDonald's, a McDouble is only $2.50. So you can get your gym gains on or just get lunch for only $2.50. Get more value on the under $3 menu.
Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Welcome into the Friday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keys are here with you on this Friday morning. Robbie and Rex Road presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. Call TJ's team today to see why they're referred to so often. We got a lot to get to on the program today. Jared Stillman dropping by at 7 o'clock. Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, will help us discuss the Titans and the Browns coming up at 8 o'clock. So looking forward to all that. Joe Rexrode, good morning. How are you doing?
Doing good. Did I mention I went to Wu-Tang the other day?
I think only twice.
Okay, good. I don't think I talked about it enough yesterday, so I think I might have a couple more bars today to drop, too.
Oh,
so.
Boy.
Or maybe not.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah.
Just have to keep people
kidding.
In their toes.
I will absolutely not do that.
Nick Keyser, good morning. How are you? How was Preds training camp yesterday?
Yeah, it was good. I'm well myself. I'm tired, but I am doing well.
Long days out there sometimes.
Yeah, a very long time. So, but I'm used to that rink, which is nice. So that was nice. But I didn't do anything else the rest of the day. So yeah, been there, done that, and probably won't do very much more of a long day like that again. So.
Little Niners, Giants action last night on Thursday Night Football. The Niners remain undefeated, Joe Rexrode. Brock Purdy still undefeated in the regular season as a starter. He moves to 8-0 in his career as a starter for San Francisco. And I didn't think he was, like, great last night. Made a couple of really good throws. But that San Francisco team is just tough to deal with. That roster is just loaded, Joe. And I don't know if they're for sure the best team in the NFC. The Eagles are still there, and they're very good. And I think it may come down to those two again in the playoffs, but San Francisco, very impressive so far through three games.
Yeah, not going to lie and say I saw a snap of that game because it was my anniversary last night. But I did make sure that McCaffrey was in my lineup before heading out to dinner. So, yeah. So, now they're, 25 for 37, 3-10 and 2, you know, for Brock Purdy. I mean,
pretty good.
Guy is, Debo. Look at Debo, 6 for 129 with a touch. And then meanwhile, you find out that, from Barkley is now a high ankle sprain,
yep.
Which is, all week it was kind of like, nah, just an ankle sprain. Oh, okay, well, that's fine. No, it's a high ankle sprain, as we usually believe, is a very, very, is a longer term injury. There's been things that have been called high ankle sprains that were shorter term, but for the most part, that's what it is.
Yeah, it was kind of weird how they handled that all week of, well, it's just a normal ankle sprain. I think even like on Monday, they were like, well, Saquon Barkley heals fast, so we're not ruling him out for the game Thursday. And then it ends up being a high ankle sprain. It's like, okay. What were you guys talking about all week?
Of playing.
Yeah. Just makes no sense whatsoever. But a little gamesmanship, I guess.
Yeah. When you're about to play the Niners, I guess you try to find every little thing you can. Maybe, hope they get preoccupied preparing for him, and somehow that helps you, I guess. But not great here for the Giants. They could be a disastrous season if they didn't have the comeback they had last week. Total disaster.
That's the thing. Like, they are a Arizona Cardinals blown second half away from being 0-3, which, obviously is a far cry. Dable was great last year, and that was a surprise team, and they made the playoffs, all these things. And Daniel Jones gets his big deal over the offseason, which right now is not looking great with the way that he's played to this point. But, it's 1-2. It's not total disaster, but they are, one game away, an Arizona game where they look terrible in the first half away from being 0-3. So we'll see what that looks like. Joe, the injuries continue around the NFL. Trayvon Diggs suffering a torn ACL in practice yesterday for the Dallas Cowboys. So, look, it's tough to see anybody tear an ACL, and it's tough enough when it's in the game. to me, like, it hurts a little more when it's in practice, when you're not actually, like, playing out there, just to, the devastation factor of it, because it just feels so unnecessary. But you're talking about so far already this year, Aaron Rodgers goes down with an Achilles. We saw the gruesome Nick Chubb injury the other night on Monday Night Football. And then yesterday in practice, Trayvon Diggs suffering a torn ACL on a defense, Joe, that I think was the best defense in the league. And watching them play through the first 2 weeks had a chance to be one of those special defenses that we've talked about, you know, with some of the great defenses that we've seen. Romo was talking about that on the broadcast this past week, of how with the way that their contracts are structured and the talent that they have, that Cowboys defense could be kind of that next wave that we talk about, be that the Bears in the 80s or the Ravens in the early 2000s or the Broncos from this past decade. That's a tough loss, tough blow for the Cowboys with Diggs going down.
Yeah, it's terrible. I say it every year, so I know it's every year, you know, but it's like, gosh, I can't remember this many, you know, key players suffering huge injuries. And obviously Diggs is such a fun player to watch. I mean, I still think that defense can be exactly what you just said, but you know, and that's a guy who last year, he was actually interesting player because he made a bunch of plays, but actually, like, the numbers on, you know, stuff he gave up were not great. You know, I mean, he's kind of a feast or famine player, but no doubt a special talent. And that's too bad. Don't forget you're talking about those great defenses. Don't forget about the Giants, the Bill Belichick coordinated LT. I mean, I think those defenses were right there with the Bears in the 80s.
Yep, absolutely. Belichick, Parcells, tag teaming over there. Pretty good stuff. Pretty good coaching staff that they had on that Giants team as well. Speaking of injuries, the injury report out for the Titans yesterday, Joe, and Gifford, Anthony Kendall, Peter Skoronski all not practicing yesterday for the Titans. So Gifford, Kendall, and Skoronski not practicing Wednesday or Thursday. We know Skoronski's not going to be available coming up on Sunday against the Browns. But 2 days in a row of full participation from Christian Fulton, 2 days in a row of full participation from Amani Hooker. So you're feeling pretty good about those two heading into the game Sunday against the Browns. Harold Landry limited again with a hamstring on Thursday. Derrick Henry did not practice due to rest yesterday. So he had the toe designation on Wednesday. It was a rest designation yesterday for Henry. So looks like he's going to be fine for the game coming up on Sunday. But the Landry one still is the one where I guess you're worried about it heading into this game in terms of him being limited with the hamstring injury. Tier Tart back out there yesterday on the field. Didn't practice Wednesday, was limited on Thursday with a knee. So we'll keep an eye on that. And Denico Autry limited with the foot Wednesday and Thursday as well. But good signs for Fulton and Hooker.
Yeah, I mean, I think the secondary, this is going to be one of the good weeks. This is going to be an up week. So you have all those guys. Do you have all of them for the whole game? I don't know, but that's, you think about the Titans last week. You know, again, as we've talked about, Trey Avery battled. He made some plays. Mike Brown made a play. So, you know, and they got it done when it mattered most. But there's no doubt that back end looks a lot better with Hooker and Fulton in it. So, that's a big deal. I do look at Tier Tart. He went up to limited yesterday. Also, you know, Hopkins is interesting because he went from full Wednesday to limited yesterday. You know, I feel like with him, you know, again, you get an ankle and it's like, well, you can either take 2 weeks totally off or you're probably going to have an ankle.
We had class to go to yesterday. There's a nice screenshot of him that participating was amazing virtually in his class. So maybe some homework to get done. I don't know.
That is true. Good for him. That was really cool. Yeah, with Derrick Henry, it's interesting because I, like, if he did have turf toe at all, like, I would think about shutting him down for a little bit. Yep. You know, I mean, they designated it just as rest. So, like you said, I mean, I take that as he's fine. But that's one of those. You know, these injury designations in the NFL need to get more specific. Is it like some sort of toe injury? Yeah. Whatever. Turf toe is terribly painful.
A couple of interesting ones to watch for the Browns, Joe. So Amari Cooper dealing with groin and shoulder injuries. He didn't practice Wednesday, was limited on Thursday. Greg Newsom, their very talented corner, has not practiced either one of the last 2 days with the elbow injury coming off the game on Monday night. And Za'Darius Smith dealing with an ankle and a thigh injury. Didn't practice Wednesday. Was a limited participation, yesterday at practice for the Browns. Those three guys, Cooper, Newsom, and Za'Darius Smith, really interesting to watch this week for the Browns. Obviously, three very important players for Cleveland there.
Yeah, and it doesn't seem great for on the Newsom front. I mean, I'm sure Cooper is going to rally and play. Big Z, it's a good sign for him to be be out there some yesterday. But yeah, Newsom, that's a guy who, you know, by the way, Titans could have drafted. Very good player. But that would obviously hurt that still very good Browns defense.
No question about that. So the injury front, it looks like the Titans should be in decent shape coming up on Sunday against the Browns. Really, the question is offensive line. I would assume, Joe, with Skoronski not going to be able to go, I guess you're starting Raidens, right? Like Raidens came in, played well in the game on Sunday, and my guess is that that's going to be the way they go from the start of things on Sunday is Dylan Raidens will be your starting left guard, and you go from there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know that there's a – I mean, we've seen Xavier Newman out there. I mean, that's pretty clear. I think that's a pretty clear decision. So, I think Raidens will start, and, that depth can be really tested if anybody else gets banged up. But, you know, the rest of that line, they want to keep as they want to gel. They want to grow together. This is another really tough – I mean, this is one of the toughest overall opponents I think they'll see all season.
No question about it. 615-737-1025. We are off and running on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll continue to take a look at the Titans and the Browns coming up. What has to go right for the Titans offensively in this game for them to leave Cleveland with a win? We'll get into that. Break down the offensive side of the ball coming up next for the Titans. Make sure you tune in to 93.3 Classic Hits this Saturday for MTSU football. The Blue Raiders kicking off at 6 o'clock at home against Colorado State. Pregame beginning at 5 o'clock. You can hear all the coverage on the 93.3 Classic app and at 93.3ClassicHits.com. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball tonight at 6:35 on 94.9 The Fan. The Sounds taking on the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp, the AAA affiliate of the Miami Marlins. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans and Family Leisure. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. We are live from our 102.5 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Looking ahead to the Titans and the Cleveland Browns coming up on Sunday. So, Joe, there are certain things about this matchup for the Titans offensively that I think we know, right? The offensive line has struggled early in games, and that has resulted in Ryan Tannehill being under duress, being under a lot of pressure, both in the Saints game in the first half, certainly in the Chargers game in the first half as well. And now you're taking on a defensive front in Cleveland that has Myles Garrett, one of the top handful of pass rushers in the league. Za'Darius Smith, when healthy, also very effective at rushing the passer and getting after the quarterback. So logic would dictate, Joe, that the Browns are going to be able to have some success on Sunday at rushing the passer and getting after Ryan Tannehill, and that the Titans are going to have to find a way to counteract that. The idea of them just being able to hang in there and straight up block Myles Garrett or straight up block Za'Darius Smith, I don't know is very realistic for the Titans on Sunday. So having said all that, as you look at the Titans, what they've been able to do offensively, we've talked a lot about Tim Kelly and his approach so far this week. What is realistic for the Titans on Sunday in your mind, and what has to happen for the Titans offensively in order for them to position themselves to leave Cleveland with a win and improve to 2-1 on Sunday?
Well, I think when you talk about, you know, an offensive approach in a game like this, and you know, obviously you're right, the Browns are loaded. I mean, Hurst is really good. You know, they're good at every level. You know, I mean, I think Newsom missing would hurt them, but you know, Ward is excellent. I mean, Delpit is really good. Another one of those LSU kids who's just a really good NFL player. But I think the thing about this game is you also talk about that and think about the other side because. Jeremiah Owusu also one heck of a player, you know, for them. You talk about trying to possess the ball, run the ball, and just use your monster punter if you need to all day long. You know, cover those kicks. Make sure you cover those kicks. 17-yard gap between net and gross seems a little big to me, but play the field position game, you know.
What angle are you trying to take there, Rex Rudd?
Exactly.
Thanks, Mike.
Yes. But, yeah, you should be able – I mean, look, you should be able to limit them. And so, to me, offensively, you just don't turn it over. You don't give them short field. You don't make the killer mistake. And you try to run the football because a defense like that is most comfortable in obvious passing situations coming after your quarterback. And so, you know, you try to run the football at them and make them uncomfortable and hit them with some, you know, some screens and some different things that you do creatively. But, man, I really think running the football is the order of the day. And, you know, you try to pop those play action. I think you may have to do – you think about the key play at the end of the game to Hopkins moving that pocket for Tannehill, you know, things like that. I mean, you're going to have to – if you – the Pittsburgh game, you know, they had Pickett moving a lot. You know, they moved that pocket a lot with Pickett. And I think that's just kind of how you have to look at that, and you have to try to come up with some stuff to have some plays where Garrett just isn't going to be able to be part of the play, you hope, you know. So, but to me, it's a very careful – frankly, I think the Titans should be boring on Sunday because I don't think you have to score a ton of points to win this game. I really don't.
I agree. I think this is a classic example, Joe, of two teams that want to run the ball and are equipped to run the ball on Sunday trying to do that. Now, obviously, Chubb's loss – for the Browns hurts that tremendously, and we'll see how they handle that with Kareem Hunt coming in. The interesting part about that, Joe, is though, and I know that we're two games into the season, so these statistics aren't completely, you know, fleshed out yet. But I mean, if you go back to last year too, these were two defenses that were very good against the run. The Titans had the best run defense in the league last year, and so far this year, the Titans have the fifth best rush defense in the league. The Browns have the fourth best. So you're talking about a two-game sample size, so there's not much to go on yet. But we know that Titans front is very good and very equipped to stop the run. And so far this season, Cleveland has been as well. Now, you know, they've played Cincinnati, and Joe Mixon is a good back, but Cincinnati certainly more of a passing team than they are a running team. Najee Harris, good back, I think, in Pittsburgh. He's not lived up to what I thought he would be in the NFL so far, but they did a good job of slowing him down too. So Cleveland and the Titans, their fronts have been very good against the run so far. Cleveland giving up 65 yards a game rushing, as are the Titans. So the Titans and Cleveland combined are both giving up 65 yards rushing per game. So it's been tough sledding against these fronts so far running the ball.
It has. I mean, Pittsburgh's a big disappointment as a team trying to run the ball. Like you said, Najee Harris. I do like Jalen Warren, by the way.
Yeah.
I think I actually drafted him and dropped him. How stupid in one of my leagues. But I get those fantasy football tidbits in for you.
You do.
But, yeah, Cleveland can – I mean, the Browns completely just gobbled them up. And, obviously, they're having their own struggles right now. We were talking about injuries last segment. I had a really interesting situation with the Bengals with, like, do you play Burrow this week? Because you can't go to 0-3, you know, and this obviously could affect the Titans next week,
yeah.
You know, whether he'd play. I'd probably rest him and have him ready for Nashville, but, you know, we'll see what they do. But, yeah, it is two offenses the Browns have faced that are kind of having their own issues a little bit, you know. So
yeah.
maybe the Browns are, you know, have kind of fattened up a little bit, you know, feasted a little bit. And I think you see that a lot in the league this time of year too. I mean, you see some of these offenses that just aren't, you know, they're clunky and they're not ready. And for whatever reason, they're not very good, but still, we know the Browns have tremendous, tremendous personnel. And yeah, look, I mean, I like the Titans' chances of running the ball a lot better than I like the Browns' chances. That doesn't mean I think the Titans are going to have some prolific day on the ground by any means.
Well, and it's going to be interesting to see how they use Henry and Spears in this game, because we saw, you know, we've talked all week about the difference between game one to game two and the usage of those two. But, like, can you find creative ways in the running game to get Spears the ball, right? Like, they've handed it to him out of the gun. Jared was talking yesterday about, and TD was talking about this too, in terms of, you know, sets that you watch where you're used to them either throwing out of a set, whether that be in shotgun, or you got two tight ends in and it looks like they're going to run and they hit the 70-yard shot on the play action. Like, being unpredictable not only with your play calls, but with your formations as well and what that means for what you're going to do. I think it's going to be required again on Sunday for the Titans, but can you find some seams and can Derrick Henry break loose? Derrick Henry in the first half of the Saints game, Joe, when he's averaging over 5 yards a carry, it was in some ways, you know, tough sledding for Derrick Henry last week. 25 carries, 80 yards, kind of a grinded out performance. Is it going to be more of that for him on Sunday, or can he have one of those Derrick Henry style games where he's averaging, you know, 4.5, 5 yards a pop, and that makes the rest of the Titans offense flow pretty easily after that? I don't know.
Yeah. And, you know, you talked about Raiden's, you know, playing this game. Hey, Raiden's had some really good run blocking reps in last week's game. You know, again, I feel like every time out, this offensive line that was built to protect the passer is a lot better, you know, running the ball than protecting the passer. But then again, I think most offensive linemen, I don't care even if they, you know, played for Mike Leach in college, still would rather, you know, put their hand in the dirt and go fire off into somebody, you know. But yeah, I don't know. I'm not, I guess, optimistic that Derrick Henry's going to just, that they're going to get this massive push and Derrick Henry's going to be able to, you know, consistently get those 4, 5, 6 yarders like he did in the first half of New Orleans. You're going to have to, you know, you try to find a big play or two as well. And I think last time he was in Cleveland, he had one or two of those.
How many points do you think it takes to win this game for the Titans? Like, because I'm looking at this matchup, Joe, and I think it might be first one to 20. Like, if you can get to 20 points in this game, I think you might have a shot to win, which is not necessarily the most exciting brand of football, but I think that may be the way it plays out on Sunday.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think anybody gets into the 20s and they got to be feeling pretty good. And it may be 20 gets it done, 20 to 17, 20 to 16, you know, something like that. And that's if it's, and, you know, it could be more like 13 to 9. Okay.
Could be.
I know. If this turns into a back and forth like shootout, that'll be the shocking outcome. I just can't see it.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans matchup against the Browns. What has to go right for the Titans offensively? What are you most curious about in this game to see what the Titans can get done offensively against that Browns defense, which has been very good so far through two games? 615-737-1025. We'll continue the discussion on that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Friday morning. We're taking your thoughts on the Titans. 615-737-1025, our phone number. 615-737-1025. Make sure you check out this week's Nashville's Best Deal. It's Campione's Taste of Chicago, located at 401 Long Hollow Pike in Goodlettsville. Campione's is a family-owned, award-winning restaurant for Sumner County's best Italian dining and lunch spot. Try one of their Chicago-style hot dogs, Italian beef sandwiches, lasagna, homemade pasta, and more. Get half off a $20 gift card at thegamenashville.com/deals while supplies last. Looking ahead to the Titans and the Browns, we have Jared Stillman coming up at 7 o'clock. Get his thoughts on the game as well. And yet another loss to Joe Rexroad in Jared versus Joe. Joe, I believe that's, I want to say 6 out of 7 victories for you. 6 out of 7, I believe, is the number.
Yeah, who's counting? I mean, again, that's still a mass. Well, that's a massive disappointment. Yeah, apparently you are. That's a big disappointment. Again, any human being who loses, who quote unquote, air quotes, loses a sports argument to Jared Stillman should feel great shame.
That is true. We'll have more on that coming up at 7 o'clock. The Titans and the Browns offensively. The Hopkins part of this, how much healthier is he this week than he was last week? That's going to be the question. Like, has the ankle gotten better? It was clear. I mean, he didn't practice last week. You know, Vrabel talked after the game on Sunday about basically leaving it up to Hopkins, and that Hopkins is one of those players in the league that you just kind of trust his judgment. And he's been around long enough to know when he can go, when he can't. Obviously, Hopkins plays last week. 4 catches, 40 yards. Not a huge day statistically, but some big catches in the game, including the one in overtime that set up the game-winning field goal for the Titans by Nick Folk. But is the ankle better this week? How much better is it by the time Sunday rolls around? And what does that mean for the matchup against the Browns? And, you know, the Greg Newsom part of this is big, too. They still have lots of talent in the secondary, and it's not like this is just going to be some trash secondary that the Titans are playing if Greg Newsom can't go. But Newsom, a very good player, and if he can't go, I'm interested to see, you know, how the Browns try to go about covering Hopkins and, of course, Burks, too, who has not been on the injury report this week, which is very good news for the Titans after what happened on Sunday and his availability in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, no, it is good news. It's also interesting looking back at the last game, the fact that, you know, they had quite a few snaps there with Moore and NWI and both Burks and Hopkins off. They had a few, at least. I think Moore and NWI, the defense thinks run, you know, I mean, yeah. I think, like, it's more the run blocking person. As I said, Hopkins had some good blocks, but you think about that and then you think about play action. NWI touchdown. Now, I mean, I don't think that the Chargers should have been surprised they were throwing because they had just blown up a Derrick Henry run and put him in kind of a tough situation. But they went play action. It worked. NWI scored. So I thought maybe, you know, that Burks, you know, maybe tweaked something, but apparently not, which is a huge deal for this team. So, and with Burks, I mean, I think you've got more and more. I'm not saying a steady diet, but I think you need to try to go vertical to him some more. You know, I know now it's on tape, so Jim Schwartz has seen it on the film this last week. But I mean, I think he's definitely the big play guy. I think also still yard after catch for him, and trying to just give him some space and let him go. But this offense benefit a whole bunch if that can become a little bit more of a regular feature of this offense, and maybe a little Chris Moore too.
Well, really the big story of the game offensively, Joe, is how do you go about preventing Myles Garrett from totally wrecking the game? You know, most of the time he's probably going to be lined up across from Andre Dillard. So obviously that is a huge challenge for Andre Dillard. That's a huge challenge for any offensive tackle in the NFL. So if you're the Titans, how do you go about making sure that Myles Garrett doesn't single-handedly ruin what you're trying to get done offensively? Obviously, I think you're going to see some help. You're going to see some chips from the tight end on Myles Garrett. I think it would probably be wise for the Titans to try to get the ball out pretty quickly for the most part. Like you said, I mean, there's going to be some times where you want to take some shots down the field, but that's really, to me, the main question heading into the game Sunday for the Titans offensively is, how do you prevent Myles Garrett from single-handedly just totally destroying your front and wrecking the game offensively?
Yeah, throw it fast. That's one thing you probably do. But, yeah, I think every opponent obviously gives him the most attention. He still finds a way to be a big factor in these games. And that's where a guy like, you know, Big Z is important in this game, because if he's healthy and he's playing at his highest level – like if it's Hubbard, and again, Garrett will move around, but, you know, if it's Hubbard, can Hubbard handle Big Z? You know, that's a huge question for this game. I mean, you know, can you put the other, whoever is on an island with Zadarius, and, you know, they got other guys too. I mean, Wright and Okoronkwo, yep. And they've got some good, they got some good players, but that's what you have to do. I mean, obviously, because to me, it's like a chip and a back with Garrett and your tackle, who you hope can just provide some resistance at all to him. He's special.
Yeah, no question about that. And then on the other side of the ball, like, I would imagine some of the conversation, like, the Titans don't have a Myles Garrett on the other side of the ball, like, defensively. They do have Jeffrey Simmons, and they do have Danico Autry, and they do have, we'll see, Harold Landry. I mean, that's the one to me that I'm really looking at from a pass rushing standpoint right now is – Landry with the hamstring, is he going to be able to go? And if he is, how limited is he going to be? We've talked about Landry, but this is not like he's coming off the ACL. He had like the abdominal stuff going on, and now you've got the hamstring. So in a few weeks' time, this is the third different injury that Landry is dealing with, and a limited participant each of the past 2 days. How ready and available is he going to be on Sunday in that matchup? But, I mean, Key, Simmons, Danico Autry, like the pass rush for both sides, if you're the Titans offensive line and the offensive staff, and if you're Cleveland's offensive staff, you're sitting around looking and going, man, we got a big challenge on Sunday trying to slow down these guys.
Yeah, like someone is going to have to maybe overachieve a little bit on some snaps alone with a good pass rusher, you know.
Yeah.
It's both sides. So, and I look for Arden Key to maybe assert himself a little bit more in this game than he did last game. Still made an impact for sure. Yeah, the Landry things, just pure speculation on the injury front, but obviously sometimes guys have a serious injury and then it's like you start having minor injuries elsewhere because there's such a focus on, you know, staying healthy with the big injury that you are coming off of and things like that. But as we also know, the hammy virus tends to creep into Tennessee Titans football. So, I'd like to see, you know, if he's limited or can't go or whatever. I mean, you know, you'd like to see a little bit more from Rashad Weaver, you know?
Yep.
I mean, Rashad Weaver, I kind of thought, and I think some of it is just opportunity because they're just, frankly, just guys ahead of him. But, you know, here in year three for him, and he's had some nice stretches with this team, but, you know, you'd like to see him maybe make an impact in that way too.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Mark in Nashville. Mark, good morning, buddy. How we doing?
Yeah, how you doing, Robbie? What's up, Joe?
We're good, man.
What's up, Mark?
Yeah. Hey, Robbie, you were talking about the defensive lines for both teams. I think that with Dillard, you're going to have to give him some help. You're going to have to leave some tight ends in to help block Garrett. You're going to have to do that. I think it's going to be a defensive struggle. You were saying first to 20. Robbie, I wouldn't be surprised if this game ended up 10-9, man, or 13-10. It really wouldn't surprise me because both teams have such great defenses and whatnot. But before I go, Robbie, I wanted to get this in to Joe, and I want you to agree with me on this, Robbie.
Okay.
I texted Joe the other day. Joe won again. I got Joe 8-1. I think you said 6-1. I think it's 8 out of the last 9.
Isn't it?
I think it is. Yeah, pretty good run. But, Robbie, I told Joe the other day, I said, hey, man, you ought to give me a shout-out every time because, Joe, I have changed your demeanor. I have gotten you to be aggressive. I have gotten you to sit there. Joe, I've been like a scout for you, man, because I sit there and listen to Steelman talk and stuff, and I know he's coming on today and stuff. And, you know, I really love to take the loser on right now. He is the loser. So what I'm saying is, Robbie, Joe's demeanor, if you ever notice, Joe's gotten aggressive. He debates Steelman harder. He doesn't sit there and he's turned Steelman's strength into his weaknesses. So would you agree, Robbie? Joe should be sitting there giving me a shout-out every time, man.
Mark, I think you are like the Deion Sanders in Joe's life. You come in and immediately have changed things around, and the results speak for themselves.
Yeah.
Like life coaching.
Hey, Joe, and I do take receipts. Yep. So there you go, man.
That's right. That's what I'm talking
about. I do take receipts. Hey, but y'all have a great day. Good weekend, Robbie. Just wanted to call and say that. Need to shout me out more, Joe. Remember that now, man.
I will. I got to say, though, as you guys know, if you listen to that segment, I mean, Jared will just go on and on.
Like, hard for him to shut up sometimes.
Yeah, you know, so, I mean, trying to get that. But I got you last week. I'll get you again. Don't worry.
Well, Joe, the one win he did win, I think Caroline felt sorry for him. That was a gift. Come on, man. Derek Carr, Andy Dalton. Come on, man. That wasn't even a debate. And then the other day, recruiting is not important. You know, the portal and all that. Man, it really was. It really was. But, hey, fellas, y'all have a good weekend. We'll talk to you next week, man.
Mark, thanks for the call, buddy. Right, appreciate you. Yeah, I mean, I did enjoy the high school recruiting doesn't matter much anymore in the college football landscape take from Stillman the other day. That's good.
Yeah, the last last year's national championship, it was only 97% of their players came to them via, you know, high school recruiting. So, I mean, you know, data schmata.
Mark says 10-9 on Sunday for the Titans and the Browns. Could be a really just a slot fest out there offensively. But the Titans did get to 27 last week, so this could be the changing of the guard, the turning of the page for the Titans offensively. If they get into the 20s 2 weeks in a row, Joe, I think I may be officially ready to anoint Tim Kelly.
Yeah, well, yeah. If he gets in the 20s this week, you know, we start really throwing the flowers his way. Maybe this will be like one of those things where it's like 34-31, just completely different kind of game than we thought. That happens sometimes.
It does. Deshaun Watson goes off. He can actually, you know, complete forward passes in this offense. We'll see what happens on that front, too.
I mean, look, if I'm Deshaun Watson, I look at the Titans and it's like the key is the big plays. You know, the key is hitting some of those big shots. This team gives them up at times. You got to do it. So maybe he'll hit a bunch.
Coming up next, it's time for Call Your Shot Friday. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans and the Browns. College football, big weekend. A college football coming up this weekend. Lots of very intriguing matchups. We'll take your thoughts on that. 615-737-1025. Your called shots, your bold predictions for this weekend in sports. That's all next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
The sports weekend has arrived. You know what that means.
Shoot your shot.
It's time for Call Your Shot Friday with Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 1025 The Game and The Game Nashville app.
It's that time of the week. Time for Call Your Shot Friday here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your called shots, your bold predictions in the world of sports on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Joe Rex Road, how did we do last week in Call Your Shot Friday?
Ah, there we go. See, that does not count as a mute. Thank you. That was just a pause. I didn't try to talk. I knew I was muted. Thank you. Okay. Well, we had a lot of shots last week, so let's get to them. Let's go to Nick's first. Nick says Hopkins will catch the Titans' first touchdown of the season and get 115 yards receiving. That did not happen. He said Tannehill throws for 300 with two TDs and a pick. He did have the two TDs, right? Yes.
He only threw for one, I believe.
The only throw for one touchdown. Yep. He threw the one to NWI.
Yep, I think it was it.
They scored so many touchdowns. Derrick Henry got it, one in, and he ran one in, didn't he?
Correct.
However, Nick did say Titans win by three, so that was part of that shot. So well done, Nick. MTSU allows 21 points to Murray State, but will win. Elijah Metcalf, two touchdowns. I know they won.
They did. I had a good day about the rest of it.
We'll just say he didn't get it.
Yes.
Yeah, you got to follow up on your shots, man. Okay. Robbie says Tannehill passing touchdown first drive of the game. It took them a little while to get going. Joe Milton, two shots of 40 yards or more against Florida. One will be a touchdown. In fact,
I think he hit
two.
Yeah.
That did hit. I mean, it actually exceeded that. Jalen Wright, 183 rush yards versus Florida. That did not happen.
Should have gone Trevor Etienne.
Yeah, exactly. Colorado State will take down Colorado. Boy, you were awful close to that happening. Yes. And the Texans Colts will tie, just disrespecting the Colts. I'm sure Indy Ben noticed.
Taking receipts.
Dominating Colts. A strong, strong number three in the AFC South, Indianapolis Colts. I said Derrick Henry, two rushing touchdowns. All he had to have is Tannehill. Flip him the pitch on the option. He'll run through Derwin James, and I'm right. Tannehill, 215 yards plus passing Sunday. Ding, ding, ding. Yes, thank
Nailed
you.
It.
By the way, it took that late shot to Chris Moore to make that even possible. Trey Avery will have a pick. He did not. Joe Milton, 250 yards plus passing Saturday. Ding, ding, ding. Thank you, thank you. I had Jalen Wright with 175, so you and I are on the same page and both wrong. And Nate Clifton, game-winning scoop and score for Vanderbilt at UNLV, did not happen. Of course, they did have a chance with a late pick to win on a defensive return off of it, but they did not.
Nick Kieser, your called shots for this week as we begin another week of Call Your Shot Friday.
Okay, yes. So, Zach Lyons will love me for this one. Puka Nacua for the Rams will get his first touchdown because he's not had one yet, but he's played really well.
Catching a lot of passes.
I'm going to say he gets 130 yards receiving versus the Bengals and gets a touchdown this week.
Right.
He has been a stud so far, and I think he continues that until Cooper Kupp comes back. My second called
Puka Nacua shots. I like it.
I like it.
My second called shot is going to be that Nashville SC because they are back in action. I have to give them a little bit of credit here because they won the other night,
they
so
did.
Might as well go into it. Into San Jose, I say that they win 4-0 or 4-0, excuse me, on Saturday, and Hani Mukhtar gets a hat trick in this contest.
Offensive explosion,
and my final called shot because the Saints are taking on the Packers this weekend. Robbie,
good luck to you.
I'm not sure how much of a called shot this is going to be, so Joe, you can give me all the judgment you want, but I say that the Saints get 4 sacks and a win by 10. Against the Packers on Sunday.
4 sacks against that Packers offensive line would be pretty good. So it counts as a called shot.
Yeah, that's a shot. I think a double-digit win over the Packers. Yeah, we'll allow that. That's fine.
Joe Rexroad, your called shots for this week.
All right, we'll start with the college games. I got one for each of those. Ray Davis, 3 touchdowns for Kentucky against Vanderbilt. Yeah, I think Ray Davis, I think Kentucky's going to give him those opportunities. He's been a really nice pickup for Kentucky. He's been a big loss for Vanderbilt, and Kentucky remembers losing to Vanderbilt. Now, that's the unfortunate thing about this week for Vanderbilt is there's no sneaking up on Kentucky. Dylan Sampson will score 2 touchdowns for the Vols against UTSA. This is a classic. Yeah, we got a kid putting stuff on social media. Somehow he didn't touch the ball last week.
He's going to play?
Let's get him involved. He's going to play and score 2 touchdowns. You think he's not going to play?
Yeah, he's going to play.
Yeah, he's going to. Yeah. They need to get him going. He's too talented to not be involved in some way. Rashad Weaver, I mentioned him earlier. I'm going to mention him again. Scoop and score touchdown for the Titans. I feel like I'm having a lot of scoop and score shots here this year. But I like Rashad Weaver is the beneficiary of, you know what? Let's even be more specific. He's a beneficiary of an Arden Key sack.
Okay. I like it.
So we'll have Key with the sack and Weaver with the touchdown. And finally, Treylon Burks will have more than 100 yards receiving, and I believe that is a shot for this matchup.
I believe it is as well. Very nicely done. All right, my called shots. Denico Autry, a strip sack of Deshaun Watson. Strip sack of Deshaun Watson going up on Sunday. Tyjae Spears will score the first touchdown of the game for the Titans. So Spears with the opening touchdown of the game.
Nico
gets in that game on Saturday and will complete 80% of his passes. 80% completion percentage for Nico, and the people will be buzzing after that game.
Oh, boy.
And finally, Joe, Notre Dame takes down Ohio State by 2 touchdowns. A 2 touchdown win for Notre Dame, Sam Hartman, and the Fighting Irish against Ohio State. Now, that's a called shot.
That's a shot. And if that happens, then the Sam Hartman for Heisman campaign, I'm sure he's going to be rolling along then.
Oh, yeah. No question
about that. If that's the case, he looks awfully good so far.
Let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Weston. Weston, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning, guys. I got 3 college shots for you real quick, all college football related.
Okay.
I have UCLA knocking off Utah this weekend.
Oh, okay.
I have Colorado winning a last-second field goal against Oregon. And then I have Sam Hartman throwing for 350 yards, and then Ohio State's quarterback having 2 picks in that game.
Ooh,
and nice. Notre Dame winning by 2 touchdowns.
We're on the same wavelength there. Thanks for calling in, Weston.
Yes, sir.
So, he has Colorado winning, too. Colorado, a 21-point underdog, taking on Oregon on the road this weekend, Joe, with no Travis Hunter in the game.
That's a shot.
That is a shot. But let me
tell
you,
would be something.
If people are, we've heard from some people this week that are a little tired of like the Deion mania going on. If they beat Oregon, I'm just here to tell you, it's only just begun. Like if they go on the road with no Travis Hunter and they take down Oregon, be a lot of Deion talk next week, would be my guess.
Yeah, I mean, I've totally blown it not trying to figure out some way to write about Deion at The Athletic. I'm the only Athletic employee who hasn't written a story about Deion. It's very disappointing. It's shameful, actually.
Mayor in Mount Juliet's called shot is Nashville Predators will win their preseason opener against the Florida Panthers. Does that count as a called shot, Joe Rexroad?
No.
What? God, no.
Now, a week ago, South Carolina will upset number 1 Georgia. That's a great shot, and it was looking awfully good, but no. Come on. Are you trolling us?
Ben on the text line says the Browns will have less than 50 yards of rushing offense, but the Titans still don't win. Less than 50 yards rushing for the Browns, and yet the Titans still lose the game.
Okay. That's a pretty good shot. I mean, the less than 50, if Nick Chubb were playing, that'd really be a shot. But I think the combination of those two things, that counts.
I got a Bears fan on the text line that says Justin Fields rushes for 175-plus yards, and the Bears-Chiefs game is surprisingly watchable. This is from a Bears fan on the text line.
That is a huge shot.
Maybe that's a new plan for the Bears. It's just every time Fields drops back, just take off. Just give it about 2 seconds and then take off run. See what happens. Why not?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, his coaches may be so mad at him, they're not going to tell him anything now the rest of the week, you know? He's just going to be on his own out there. Zach's very excited about Puka Nacua.
Who isn't?
Ooh. Oh, Zach, this is a great idea, story idea. If Vrabel leaves for Ohio State, is Deion coming to Nashville? Oh, my God, that's beautiful. Thank you, Zach. I'm going to get started
on that as soon as the show ends. 615-737-1025. We'll continue to take your called shots, your bold predictions, all show long on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Coming up next, we'll be joined by our good friend Jared Stillman. We'll get into another victory for Joe Rexroad in the competition, Jared versus Joe. Also look ahead to the Titans and the Browns, the keys to victory for the Titans coming up on Sunday. All that next. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 1025-1063, the game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.